I get to wear shorts every day. I enjoy being outside. I enjoy seeing the sunrise. So those are the kind of things that make agriculture worthwhile.
It's no secret that us Georgians love our peanuts. Our state alone produces half of the annual peanut crop for the entire country. Yes, half. Today, we are in Oglethorpe, Georgia, to see one of Georgia's many family peanut farms in action.
I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand.
I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast, presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. On this episode, we're talking peanuts. And as I mentioned before, Georgia produces 50% of the entire peanut crop for the United States. That's 845,000 acres of Georgia farmland in 78 counties producing 3,800 pounds of peanuts per acre. That explains why peanuts are Georgia's official state crop. For today's adventure, we're in Oglethorpe, Georgia. Not to be confused with Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia. I know, right? Fort O is in northwest Georgia, almost to Chattanooga. Where we are today is in middle Georgia, about 25 miles west-southwest of Perry, on the banks of the Flint River. This is where you will find Chase Farms. And this farm has been producing Georgia peanuts for three generations. Donald Chase runs the farm with his parents and wife.
Georgia produces a little over half of the peanuts grown. The predominant market types are a runner type, which are used in peanut butter and in some candies. We're here today at Chase Farms in Oglethorpe, Georgia, and we're right on the banks of the Flint River, and I farm together with my parents, Glenn Lee and Ellen Chase, and my wife, Michelle Chase, and we're here in one of our peanut fields just before they get harvested this week. And I've told people this for a long time, that it takes heat, humidity, and gnats to grow good peanuts. Now, the gnats is the sort of superfluous.
They don't pollinate.
If you've been to South Georgia, you know there are gnats, and it's that sandy soil. So in a way, the gnats are important, okay? That heat, you know, the fact that we get thunderstorms all summer long, afternoon, and that keeps our soil temperatures cool, and the warmth, so we've got a good long growing season. That is what is critical in making a flavorful peanut that we can produce here in Georgia.
This farm specializes in seed peanuts, meaning the raw unshelled peanuts used for planting in home gardens.
There is no real difference in a seed peanut and one that is in mixed nuts or is in peanut butter, but we do a lot to preserve the identity of it, and to make sure that these nuts, that we don't damage the germination in them in our curing process. And additionally, we're wanting to make sure they have a good calcium so they can be a good seed for someone else next year. So there are a few minor differences. For us, it means we get paid a little more. So that's the important thing. That's why we do it.
By the way, Chase Farm doesn't just grow peanuts. After all, good farming technique is all about rotation. Keeping a consistent rotation means each crop can be enriched by the nutrients of all the other crops grown in the same soil.
I would say all farmers in Georgia practice some type of rotation scheme. The predominant rotation is cotton and peanuts. So they would grow maybe 2 years of cotton and a year of peanuts. Peanuts work really well in that rotation. They provide nitrogen for the cotton. The cotton produces good crops for those couple of years, and then we go back to peanuts. Where we here grow corn as our rotational crop, either field corn or sweet corn. This particular field will be sweet corn next year, and so that nitrogen that's left over from this peanut crop is going to make better tasting sweet corn next year.
Great rotation practices means great crops. That's how you can tell Donald really knows his stuff. He even has a chair on the Georgia Peanut Commission. That's the state board founded in 1961 to promote, research, and educate people on grape jelly's favorite legume. If that wasn't enough, he's also on the executive committee of the American Peanut Council. You'd think having peanut power like that would get to a man's head, but Donald Chase is as friendly as they come. We arrived at Chase Farm just in time for him to teach us all about the harvesting process. Now, each peanut plant has maybe 10 to 12 harvestable pods, and figuring out the right time to harvest is one of the most difficult parts of peanut farming. The University of Georgia developed a reference chart for peanut farmers, which uses the color beneath the outer layer of a peanut hull to determine the best harvesting time. The more mature the peanut, the more dark brown the hue. Farmers aim to harvest when the plant has the most harvestable pods and reaches peak maturity. Higher maturity nuts are not only the highest quality and best tasting, they earn the most on the market. That's important.
The peanuts, we dig them and invert them when they're at their peak maturity, trying to maintain the highest level of maturity without those oldest peanuts sprouting. Because if you left them there, they would all sprout eventually.
Now, one of the cool things about peanuts is that they create their own nitrogen, making them one of the most self-sustaining plants there is. I got a close-up look at the nitrogen-containing nodules, which give peanut plants life.
Usually, the closer to the taproot here is the more mature nut. Well, that one is the exception. Okay, usually the closer to the taproot are the more mature nuts. And if you can see how that one's got that coloration that's different in there, that is probably a week from becoming a seed. Those are nitrogen nodules that the plant has fixed. So that's what we want to see. We want to see that good nodulation because that plant has produced its own fertilizer. Peanuts, perhaps, are the most sustainable food, I believe, that are grown in the U.S. because they produce their own nitrogen, they are really efficient in their utilization of water, and they produce an awesome, nutritious crop. So we have dug them, and now they'll sit for 2 or 3 days. We actually dug these yesterday, and then we'll come and harvest them, and which is taking the pods off of the vines. And the vines stay right here and for fertilizer, and then the pods are sold, in our case, as peanut seed.
When the time is right, peanut plants are pulled out of the ground and flipped over to dry in the sun with a piece of equipment called a digger shaker converter. Once they're dry, that's when the real harvesting begins. But if the peanuts dry too quickly, that can cause problems of its own.
For seed growers, it's, and particularly as warm as it is and dry as it is now, we don't want these peanuts to dry out too quickly, because a peanut people have seen this as they buy peanuts that may have a little bit of the skin on them. But if that skin slips off and the nut breaks in two, it no longer is a seed. It's just a peanut. And it takes both halves of that seed to make a peanut plant grow next year. So we don't want them to dry out too quickly, or else we'll have what we call sound splits. We don't want those splits.
Those split nuts may not be great for seed peanuts, but for peanut butter, they're just right.
And it turns out that splits work really well in the peanut butter making process because it's allows for maybe better roasting. And that's good because we want a good flavorful peanut butter so people will continue to buy Georgia peanut butter.
Moisture level is a very important consideration when it comes to peanut farming. Maintaining the right level means the peanuts won't start to rot in transit.
We try to harvest our peanuts at about 18% moisture, and for commercial sale of peanuts, we need to have that moisture down at 10.49%. so they will store properly all winter long until we use them next year.
To check moisture levels, a moisture tester is stuck into a load of peanuts, which takes a reading from deep in the pile.
What's going on here?
Well, I'm gonna stick this down in the load so that I see how, you know, the moisture throughout the load. We probe this down through there and then get a sample. I need to get that moisture down to 10.49%. Well, if they store it at that level, then it won't rot or anything.
Donald's wife and fellow peanut farmer, Michelle, gave me a closer look at how the moisture meter works.
We're looking for a moisture reading around 10 or 11%. And so this is a sample from a wagon that's been on the dryer. We want to see where it's at to know what load to mix it with to put it on the semi that's here to take it. Ah, look at that, 10.3. It's ready to go.
Peanuts are also subjected to federal moisture inspections to ensure quality, safety, and storage suitability. The process is much like what peanut farmers do themselves, but on a larger scale.
Well, they basically take a sample just like I did, except a little larger, and then they have all the grading materials at every buying point.
Once the peanut plants are dug up, the sun does its work to get them to the perfect moisture level. After that, the next step is harvesting. And on this farm, this is where Donald's parents come in. Donald's mother, Ellen, says she loves driving a combine.
Ellen, how long you been doing this?
Just figured it up this morning, about 30 years.
30 years, how fun is that?
Well, I really do enjoy it. I know people say, you? Driving a combine, you know, probably in some cultures it wouldn't be a good thing to do, but I enjoy it very much. It's programmed in, you know, for the whole season. Our son and my husband, they plant with the GPS, then my son does all the spraying during the season with the same settings, and then we harvest with the same settings.
You're not the only one driving out here. We see the others out there.
No, my husband's over there. I found that that works for our farm, but we all work together. It's a family affair, and we all enjoy it.
A family affair indeed. At Chase Farm, that's the way they like it.
Our management style seems to work better like that. I really like to be hands-on. My dad likes to be hands-on. We want to be really involved. We still do a lot of the work ourselves. And it's not just a matter of, well, we don't trust anybody else. We kind of enjoy that. You know, it's kind of, that is kind of the fun of farming, I believe. We love being outside. We like to be involved with our land. We like to see crops grow.
And the whole family gets involved, even those with four legs.
As you see, I have a follower. And here's what she's come to expect. One for you, and one for me.
Who's this?
This is Ginger. Hey, girl.
And Ginger does?
Ginger eats peanuts. And it keeps me company all hours of the day and night when I'm working, and that's kind of cool.
Hey, Ginger. How you doing?
But yeah, when she's been riding with me in the tractors this year, she's been saying, I want a peanut. If you give me one, you can have one.
That's why Ginger's so healthy.
Yes. True. True, true.
What we are learning today is that moisture level is maybe the most important consideration of peanut farming. To help with this task, every peanut that gets harvested goes through a process called curing. Most of the time, that means peanut farms ship their crops to a central buying point to be cured. But here at Chase Farm, that work is handled right here on site.
All peanuts are taken to a central buying point where they're cured. We try to harvest our peanuts at about 18% moisture. And for commercial sale of peanuts, we need to have that moisture down at 10.49%. So they will store properly all winter long until we use them next year. We're kind of in a funny situation. We're not in the heart of the peanut belt. We're sort of in the northern fringes of it. we decided, hey, we'll just do that ourselves. So we do all our own drying and curing, and then we also sort the peanuts out. And we sell everything that comes out of that process.
The part of the process where loads of peanuts are organized by moisture content is called grading. And it is another step which is done right here on the farm.
So, there are the loads that I've graded. That was the last load yesterday afternoon. It had a moisture of 9.6%. And that tells me, am I doing a good job of drying? Am I keeping everything in bounds and everything with my cleaner? Is the cleaner doing what it's supposed to? I don't want to dry it any more than 15 degrees hotter than the outside temperature. So as the temperature cools at night, it lowers that target and then it comes right back up. Well, it's pretty close to 90 right now, so it's going to hold it at 90 and just not burn much propane.
For peanuts that don't make the grade, there's still hope. Here, even waste products get put to good use.
We sell the bigger peanuts, the more mature peanuts, as seed. The smaller peanuts and whatever might be shelled in the harvesting process, we sell as oil stock. And it's worked out really well for us for a long time. So it's another step along in the process. Some farmers do this, some farmers don't. At some point though, all peanuts are cured and sampled for the proper moisture, and then they go into storage somewhere, most likely in Georgia. The real big issue is that taking out those immatures, but sometimes we have, because of our hot, dry times, we've had aflatoxin in the Georgia peanut crop.
Aflatoxins are poisonous carcinogens produced by certain molds. If your favorite food item gets recalled at the grocery store, this just might be one of the causes. Childhood exposure to aflatoxin has been linked to immune suppression, stunted growth, delayed development, and liver cancer.
A lot of the aflatoxin is in those small, immature nuts. So that's another value that's gained from sorting them. A lot of it is in the hands of the Lord, because we don't get to choose the weather. So, you know, this year we've got fantastic harvest conditions. Last year wasn't that way at all. We got no control over that, but you try to manage the best you can with what you got. And that's just kind of our philosophy, and it's worked well for us. And I enjoy it. My dad, I know, enjoys it.
Donald and the rest of the Chase family are great stewards of this growing peanut empire. And for aspiring farmers of the next generation looking to break into the fascinating world of agriculture, Donald's got some words of advice.
Given the capital requirements that we see in agriculture today, you really need to start with somebody. Start with somebody that is willing to take the time, because that's not always the most easy thing from my perspective, you know, to take some time with a young man and try to explain to him, well, this is why we do this way. And if a young person really wants to be in agriculture, go find a farmer, and I'll bet you can find a job. It may not be the most high paying, but you can learn. It may be a small organic farmer. Take the time to learn what they're doing, and, you know, learn from that and build yourself what you want to do. I get to wear shorts every day. I enjoy being outside. I enjoy seeing the sunrise. So those are the kind of things that make agriculture worthwhile.
For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the GPB.org website. That's where you'll be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.